What's up, everyone? Lisa Fields here, and I'm so excited about our new curriculum, Courageous Conversations. You heard about our popular conference, Courageous Conversations, where we invite the leading pastors, thought leaders, and scholars from conservative and progressive backgrounds for conversations. But we not only want to have those conversations on stage at the conference, but we want you to have them in your everyday life. So we developed a curriculum for you to do just that. Courageous Conversations curriculum, the tools you need for the conversations and culture. You can get that today on Amazon or on our website at Jude3Project.org. Hello, welcome to the Jude3 Project podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Fields. I'm the founder of the Jude3 Project. Well, thank you for watching another episode of the Jude3 Project podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lisa Fields, the founder of the Jude3 Project. And today, I'm joined by none other than the famous CHH rapper extraordinaire, Mr. KB. Welcome, KB.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me.
For those who don't know who you are, just tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so KB, and that's a lowercase F famous. I'm Lifeway Christian Bookstore famous. I am a hip hop artist, a father, husband, but most importantly, I'm a minister of the gospel. And I've gotten to basically serve God's people through hip hop and preaching and podcasting for a long time now. I think I've been doing music for like 15 years. And gotten to travel the world basically as a missionary dressed as a rapper. And I've gotten here recently to write a book called Dangerous Jesus. So I'm adding author to that. But that's a kind of snapshot of who I am.
That's awesome. And we've already established before we hit record that I'm from the better city of Florida.
Yeah. So bigger city. It is bigger. I don't know if we can say better. I'll give you bigger though.
But we want to talk about today your book, Dangerous Jesus.
Yes.
Which is a very interesting title.
Yeah.
Why are you labeling Jesus dangerous?
Yes. Great question. And that's what I wanted. I wanted this book to I want the title to have some kind of poetry to it, that incite intrigue. Like, what do you mean by that? Typically, when we think about the word dangerous, if we are in the arena of sports, we think about an athlete, somebody who is a threat on the court, the field, a woman that is a monster in the ring. We use language that is typically versatile, that can go either way. Like, I just thought about that. Like, this person's a monster. She's a problem, or he's a problem. When we think about the context of being a threat to the opposition, to be the one that when they step into the arena, things change. At the same time, they become a tremendous cover for their own team. They are safety. They are promise. They are hope for their team. The more dangerous you are in that arena, the more of an issue you create for the enemy, and the more likely you are to be victorious, to bring victory to your squad. In that respect, Jesus is this individual that steps into the world, and he is a threat to all opposition. When he steps into the room, to the arena, everything changes. The enemy's at bay. The opposition's is on notice. He is going to bring us victory. And that dangerous Jesus is safety for his people. Yet, as a rapper, I have to be metaphoric and use double entendre. But I also recognize that there is another phenomenon that has plagued Christianity from the beginning, almost from the beginning. Is that if you take Jesus and you disconnect him from his character, his person, his presence, the things that he has called burdens, and the things that that he recognizes as the kingdom. If you separate, if you take Jesus for basically his power and use it for your own purposes, then that version of Jesus is dangerous. And I'm pulling that from Frederick Douglass, who had this dichotomy between the Christianity of Christ versus the Christianity of the land. He called the Christianity of Christ the thing that brings unimaginable good. It's the liberating, the kind of ultimate destiny for all mankind in terms of beauty and glory. But he also called the Christianity of the land a curse to people. It is a evil in this world that is indeed dangerous. So that's why the tagline is that the only thing more dangerous than getting Jesus right is getting Jesus wrong. Because that word dangerous kind of goes both ways.
Yeah, so you're basically reframing Jesus for the culture who have kind of got a counterfeit version of Jesus.
Yes.
How do you see people in culture? What are some ways that, or ways in which they think of Jesus that you think is very damaging to the gospel?
Right. Absolutely. Each chapter is me trying to take a way in which I'm sort of putting the Christianity, the Jesus of scripture versus kind of the mascots of culture that masquerade in his name. The lowest hanging fruit has been most present in our faces in the last 6-7 years has been the politicizing of Christianity. Well, I can say it's the politicizing, but it's us finding out how politicized it was for people that we were in fellowship with. In the last podcast I just did, I was talking about how back when Trayvon Martin was killed, we were showing up to the conversation with, showing up to fellowship with folks that we had been doing, been in the trenches with theologically, folks that we had been served overseas with, allies. We got to the table and said, hey, guys, let's, you know, we got abortion on the table. We've got Christian liberty on the table. We've got issues of shoring up marriage and fighting for traditional values or whatever those kinds of things might be. Can we also add this to the table, the issue of police brutality and the mistreatment of black and brown people in our country? And was met like, oh, hold up. Now you're going too far. We were good with the 99% of the other things we're all on the same page with, but you're not adding this. We're like, well, why is this so special to you? Why is this bothering you so much? And then when we got to the bottom of it, we found that there were people that, you know, heroes of mine, Sister Lisa, that I shed tears over. I wasn't perceptive enough. I wasn't mature enough. My own theology wasn't formed enough to recognize that there are individuals who had allowed their politics a level of allegiance that I thought they only had reserved for Jesus. And we see that particularly in fellowships being broken apart over individuals fighting for not simply just diversity, but trying to eradicate things like racism or to at least address things that need reconciliation regarding the issues. I was just at a church a few weeks ago, massive church. I think they had like 20,000 people going there at one point.
Oh, wow.
And they tried, and this was quick. Oh my gosh, just 3 years ago. When George Floyd was murdered, they woke up. And they were going to try to be, as a church, intentional about being a voice for the issues of justice regarding police brutality and black and brown folks. And that was not received well. Their church, the numbers plummeted down to 7,000 from 20,000 and almost overnight. And and what that's just an example. What causes me to say, I know that I may be in eternity with you worshiping Jesus forever, but on this issue, we are breaking fellowship and I'm done. What does that come from? I think that comes from people who have approached Jesus as a civic religion where Jesus is the mascot. He is not driving. He is simply helping to cheer us on in the thing that we think is most important, which is the victory of our conservative politics. So I think that that's one way, but I talk about it, there's one chapter in the book that I think is worth mentioning because I'm excited about this chapter where I talk about dangerous joy. What are the ways in which the Christianity of the land has stolen Christians' ability to simply enjoy their lives? What does it mean to enjoy the life that we're living as long as we're living it and not feel like we are being carnal because we are people that don't frown on good pleasures? I think that that's another way in which the Christianity of the land can steal, the thunder of the Christianity of Christ and have us on an idol and not the person and work of the true Jesus.
Yeah, I love that you talked about the joy aspect because I believe so many Christians have not experienced the abundant life that is promised to us in Scripture. And so we walk around as if we have no hope, as if we have no joy, if we have no peace, which doesn't make faith attractive to unbelievers who are also looking for joy, peace, and hope. And if we live as if we don't have those things, our faith is not going to be attractive to those who are without those things.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. Absolutely. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to share from the chapters of reframing? When you think about reframing Jesus for a culture, outside of conservatism and the joy components, I think about the genre the culture, hip hop culture.
Yeah.
How do you think hip hop has a misunderstanding of Jesus?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the ways that I see Jesus misunderstood in hip hop culture is around the areas of what we think he means for folks who grew up in hip hop culture. So for the average, probably hip hop cultureite like myself, I was serving at this church in Alabama, in Birmingham, about 2 weeks ago, and I think it was a historically black church, and I'm sitting in front of this youth, and I'm catching, because some of them have never heard of me before, and I'm seeing the cool all over the audience. You know, dudes are like, "Man, I wish little baby was up here." And I felt like the Lord was leading me to say, I think one of the things we need to answer for folks in our culture is similar to the work that we did on Native American reservations, is that in some ways, we don't see Jesus as for us. We see it for our grandmother, and certainly for folks on the other side of the tracks. But Jesus as a savior of the hood dude is just not really a category that we think of. And that's why I argue Christian hip hop is so important, because I'm here right now because I saw a dreadlock swinging, red bandana tattooed up hood dude get saved and then tell me about Jesus through hip hop. And I think one of the ways in which the reframing is needed is to see Jesus as relevant. We see in hip hop is set because the mainstream version, I hope Christian hip hop is helping to do that. Christian hip hop don't get a lot of love in the mainstream. Religion gets a lot of love in the mainstream from rappers who are, you know, talking about being 5%ers or Black Hebrew Israelites, stuff like that. That'll get some play because that is intriguing to some of the stars there. But just folks like me want to see people draw the line between you being like, cat that's from the same place that I hail from, that is of the culture, from the culture, and Jesus is aiming at you. That there is not, an irrelevance to his presence and what he means for how you live your life. A good example of this, too, for hip hop culture. When I first came in to the Christian into the kind of the Christian faith, I was given a book by John Piper called Don't Waste Your Life. And and full disclosure, I love John Piper. I love his work. We read Don't Waste Your Life, and it was talking about how you should not become enamored with the American dream so that you forget that, you know what I'm saying, that the kingdom is the true dream. That's the dream for us and the glory of God. And they were talking about, like, you know, people retiring and collecting shells and, you know, how much of a tragedy that is. Almost don't make so much money that you forget about God. And I remember reading that, like, we read that and began to discuss it. Like, I don't dream like that. I don't think that I'm going to make so much money, have so much power, so much influence, so eat so deeply into the American pie that I have no room for God. I'm trying to dream at all. Like, we don't have dreams. We don't have futures. And when you sort of show up about, you know, basically trying to convince people that they become too happy, joyful, and rich, they forget about God, of people that are living in abject poverty, the thing is that the Christianity becomes irrelevant to us. And we relegate it, we segregate it to our grandmothers who needed some kind of, you know, sky daddy to help them get through because they had no recourse. So where else would they go? And especially thanks to the civil rights movement was spearheaded by the Black church. They're getting stuff done. I can see the relevance to them, but what's the relevance to us? And I think that in a lot of ways, the reframing, especially in discipleship, of showing Jesus' connection to vocation and value and worth and leadership and masculinity, that's important for a reframing of Jesus for folks in hip hop culture.
Yeah, that's good. When you said Sky Daddy, I immediately thought of Richie Fontaine on Instagram because he says that all the time.
Oh, is it Sky Daddy? Kind of...
but when I think about reframing Jesus in hip hop, I think about like DJ Khaled, God Did. And I was watching an interview he did recently with Jennifer Hudson, and she was like, "Where did that come from?" And he was like, you know, he was having a conversation and he got some difficult news, and he was like, "They don't believe in us, you know, in only the way DJ Khaled can say." And he was
God
like, did. I said to myself, God did. And this whole, like you said, religion is attractive in culture, in hip hop culture, but the distance from Jesus seems to be the issue for many, that God is celebrated, but Jesus is almost like distance from, like Jesus is considered dangerous to be connected to, going back to the title of your book. Right. What do you think that gap is? Can you speak a little bit more to that gap? Because I think that's important.
I think some of it is, that's a great question. I think some of it is spiritual, and some of it is simply marketing. A lot of people switching over and doing Jesus stuff. Kanye West is an anomaly, but cats, you know, it's like career suicide. If you are taking hard stances on Jesus, it is often not something that is welcomed by your label and sometimes even by your fans. I remember when Chance the Rapper was... He made that shift. I mean, God did something powerful in his life. And he started singing about it and rapping about it. And obviously we were all excited about it. You could see the kind of writing on the wall that at some point righteousness becomes irritating to people who don't want that around them. You kind of become a reminder. I think it's spiritual in that you become a reminder of the kind of work of the Spirit in him pricking your heart and reminding you that you belong to God and to lay down your burdens, that whole kind of, you know, work that God does in bringing someone in, we run from that kind of stuff. You plug our ears to those kinds of things. And oftentimes when you stand somebody up, that it's okay for you to have a song or two, but make sure you have a lot of stuff happening in your life that is betraying what you said in that song. That makes us feel more comfortable. We feel more at home. We're more family in that scenario. But don't be somebody that is like loving Jesus. Yeah, you may not use the language of the average Christian. You may use some strong language and may say things that maybe people in churches would not say, but you're striving to love your wife and take care of your kids, and you are serving churches. You continue to talk about Jesus. The more authentic what you're singing, the more authentic that becomes in how you're living, the more people don't have ears for that. So I do think that there's the marketing standpoint, but then there's also that spiritual reality that takes place as well. I also think that Jesus in his ways, that the things that Jesus would honor as good things, I think in some degree, a lot of folks in hip hop respect it. They respect J. Cole, for example, who is an artist that I greatly appreciate. He's married. In his album For Your Eyes Only, he talks about this love that he has for his wife. I love you so much. I'm doing stuff that I don't do. I'm drinking almond milk. Cats don't be drinking almond milk. You got me drinking almond milk. I want to fold clothes for you. I want to do the mundane. He says, I want to do the right thing. And that he's tired of the wrong thing. Sin is heavy for everyone. You have to get good at ignoring the ways that sin is destroying your life. You got to keep medicating it. Keep being more delusional. It's a bad master that is not rewarding. And I find more than not, not just with folks, you hear sprinkles of it in like cats like Kendrick or J. Cole, but in my conversations with folks in the industry who would be making 20 times, get paid 20 times what I get paid a show, but would find a bit of jealousy for my life, that what does it mean to be level-headed, to not have to pop a Xan every morning, to have a woman that you trust? Not trusting women is a massive theme in hip-hop. Never trust a woman. And you got folks over here on our side that not only do we trust women, we love trust women from even a leadership standpoint, but I'm talking about in terms of the household. I give this woman my life, my heart. I want to have my children. I'm going to take care of her. I will by no means be associated with a group of individuals that are telling me that being cuffed is actually slavery and not freedom. And for you can look, so that's what we've been taught. And you can admire those who are living out the opposite of that reality. And I want to show you that Jesus is making this possible for us. Here's the connection point. You feel drawn to it. Let me show you how Jesus can bring you to that. That's a real life example, I think, of how we will kind of tiptoe, kind of dip a toe into the ways of Jesus. But I'm trying to show folks that Jesus actually has what you've been looking for in full if you would pass through the tunnel of surrender. Well, that's what we see in hip hop. People will, they stick their toe into the Jesus things, not so much because there can be some career consequence, but also there's this sort of this recalcitrance of completely surrendering to this thing because of the spiritual dynamics. And I'm hoping to help people make that plunge and find that the water is fine. The living water is fine, if you will.
Yeah. And that is so, I think, powerful because like you said, they have in culture, they're looking for hope.
Yes.
And they use things to supplement for hope.
Yes.
And so they don't necessarily want to fully surrender because they're still tethered to their idols.
Right.
But
yes.
Their idols don't fulfill them and don't give them the things that they need. Yes. But on the counter side, Christians have idols of celebrity and fame. And so they'll sometimes try to look in and peep in and say, how can I be like these celebrities? Because they have what I want, money and fame.
Yes. Yes.
But not knowing that the money and fame that they have still leaves them incomplete.
That's right.
And so
that's right.
I think the perspective that you're sharing of like, yes, they have these things, but it doesn't fulfill them, can be a help for a Christian perspective that's trying to get to their side, realizing that you have everything in Christ.
That's
and
right.
You don't, going back to the garden, you don't have to pick up something else when God has already given you everything.
That's
it's
good.
The one thing that you think that you can't have that actually
yes.
creates the chaos in your life. Mm. But if you stay connected to what God has already provided, you will have the things you really, really deeply desire.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so good. That's real good.
KB, is there anything else you want to share about your book, Dangerous Jesus, that you think our audience should know?
Well, I would love to just simply say that I wrote this book as a resource to God's people. And I hope that it would be a part of the need for there to be courageous reframing. I love that word, reframing. To me, in my believing in Christ, me becoming a Christian, that Christian hip hop CD that I got that had the gospel at the end of it, upon which I believed, it reframed Jesus for me. Reframing can be the bedrock for revival. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping that God would allow this book to be among the many works that are happening in this, and I'm excited for them all, that the folks that mm-hmm. are reclaiming, reframing for revival, that mm-hmm. folks would meet the Jesus. That's what it feels like to me, Lisa. It feels like I want people to meet the Jesus that I met. I don't know how many times I've watched something or heard something or been around something and been like, this is not the Jesus that captured my heart. Mm-hmm. And I believe with all my heart that the Jesus that captured our heart is ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father and is willing and ready and able to do powerful work among his people and in this world if we would be surrendered to who he is and not who we imagined him to be. And I want this book to be in the list of imperfectly for sure, but at least hopefully significantly, that this would be in the list of work that God is using to do that very thing, to reframe for the cause of his great name and for the good of his people in this world. So that's why I wrote this book, and I pray that would be your takeaway. By God's grace, some of the folks who have reviewed it, I think about what Priscilla said about it, that she felt that Priscilla Shire, she felt as though it was something that you could read slowly and it could stir one's heart for the kingdom, that I want to love mm-hmm. Jesus, love people, be more in tune with the kingdom objectives as a result of reading this. And I'm hoping that's what's waiting for you if you purchase the book.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's so important, because I believe people are walking away from a counterfeit version of Jesus.
Ooh.
But when you meet who Jesus is, it's very difficult to walk away.
Yes.
But if you meet
that.
Who Jesus isn't, it's very easy to. And
Ooh.
So I am excited for people to read this book and get a reframed view of Jesus, to meet the person of Jesus that is that we find in scriptures.
Yeah.
And he becomes the sweet lover of your soul that it becomes
yeah.
impossible to walk away from once you have an encounter with him.
That is awesome.
So, KB, when will the book be out? How can people get it?
Yes, the book is out March 7th. which is here soon, unless this comes out afterwards. But you can get it on Amazon. It's also an audiobook that I'm really excited about. Jackie Hill Perry did the foreword. She read her part of the audio of her foreword in the audiobook. There's a bunch of sound effects and music behind it. We worked really hard on it. And I want to retire as a rapper. So please buy this book so I can become an author. And so you can get it wherever books are sold. And whoiskb.com is a landing page if you're looking for a specific place you can be that you can go to and find the other resources connected to it.
And your social handles, I'm assuming, are all at KBHGA?
That's right. KB underscore HGA, baby.
I remember HGA from my Christian hip-hop undergrad days in Florida.
Ooh! So, I didn't know that. So you were there in the beginning then.
Yes, I went to the concert 116 concerts when, like, it all started.
I love Florida. That's dope.
I feel like were in Orlando a lot. So
yes, yes.
It's good to see what God has done in the life of you and everybody connected to HGA. Thank you for watching another episode of the G3 Project podcast. You can catch all our past episodes at G3Project.org. Remember, you can become a monthly partner with us going to G3Project.org, hitting that donate tab. You can give by mail or online. We have our curriculums, all our merch available at G3Project.org. Remember, here at the G3 Project, we're helping you know what you believe and why you believe it. Until next time, grace and peace and God bless. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the G3 Project podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can tune into all our past episodes at www.g3project.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Remember not only to subscribe, but also rate us. That helps us to gauge how we're doing and how you're enjoying the show. And it gives other listeners some ideas about the show as well. So thank you so much for tuning in. Also, remember, we have our Bible engagement app in partnership with Back to the Bible to help you get better engaged in the Bible every single day. You take a survey, it assesses your strengths and weaknesses and sends you Bible verses based on those. So it's a great app. You can download the app by searching in your App Store or Google Play, searching G3 Project, and it'll be right there for you. So thank you again. Remember, if you would like to become a monthly partner or a one-time giver, you can do so on our website or by mail. Just go to G3Project.com, hit that donate tab, and you'll see the option to mail in a gift or give online. We appreciate you, and I'm so, so thankful for you. God bless, and remember, here at the G3 Project, we're helping you to know what you believe and why you believe it.